The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Morning Invest on this Wednesday. It is November 25th, and tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Can you believe it? We've made it this far. Nice to have all of you here on the only progressive morning show that talks about the issues that matter to you, not Wall Street. We've got some big stories on the show today. We're going to talk about the stock market, of course, how out of whack it is with the American people. It had its biggest day since the 1980s yesterday, hitting 30,000 for the very first time. President Trump came out and bragged about it and took credit for it. We'll tell you about all of that, what it means for the broader economy. Does it have anything to do with upcoming stimulus? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, could it? And the new head of the Treasury, new Treasury Department. All of that in this story on investing. We're also going to talk about how convicted murderers have gotten stimulus money and unemployment benefits, and you're not. We'll tell you how they pulled off one of the largest frauds in California history. It's a remarkable story. My wife and I this morning, just how did they pull this off? How do they manage to get money orders? We'll go through all of that. Trump's lawyers get laughed off of Fox News Channel, while one of these lawyers could be dropping a bombshell lawsuit today, or so she says. I'll tell you about what's unfolding in Georgia at this hour, the sort of last gasp hope for Trump to try to grab this election from voters. We'll see how this unfolds. And America's health system, I don't need to tell you, is a total disaster. But if you listen to the right, they'll tell you we've got the best healthcare system in the world. But how about when you go to a hospital and you ask for a Tylenol and you end up paying $350 for that Tylenol? Yeah, a new massive report is out this morning showing you just how much of a markup we pay at hospitals for medical services, healthcare. We need Medicare for all in this country, and we need it last year. We need it 5 years ago. I'll tell you about that and more on the show today. Good to see all of you on this Thanksgiving Eve. Hope you guys are going to stay home and be safe tomorrow. At least that's the hope. As according to the CDC, they want everyone to stay home because we're now seeing off the wall record numbers of coronavirus cases. So I'm going to be hanging out here with this guy. Might give him some pieces of turkey. We'll see if he's a good boy. That's Grover on the Grover Cam. Producer David is in the booth today.
Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to tell you how you can get some free food and save some money. Did you know that you can save about 40% off your grocery bills by visiting our friends over at HelloFresh and saving money? Because this is what they do. They deliver exact portions to your front door. Depending on the size of your family, you can get larger family plans, vegetables only. You can do a veggie if you're vegan, etc. You can do half meat, half veggies. Like if you don't want to eat all meat, you can mix up the size of your family. You can go size 2 and up and up to 4 and 5. You can pick and choose. You can really do whatever you want. They have all of these delicious recipes inside the box delivered right to your door. And guess what? You're going to save. Yes, folks, you're going to save $90. $90 just for using our special code. When you go to HelloFresh.com/invest90, use the code INVEST90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. So just try it. You get $90 of free food just for trying it, delivered right to your door. And what's amazing is you can save over 40% off of your grocery store bill when you use HelloFresh. They cut out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips. And who wants to be going to the grocery store during COVID, for crying out loud? You can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes. They make it super simple to pick different recipes. My mom just ordered a whole box of this, and she got pork and chicken and some delicious recipes delivered right to your door, and save money and know that it's eco-conscious and delicious food all right to your front door. So our thanks to HelloFresh for supporting the show and you guys getting $90 off for giving it a try.
Hey, I can vouch for the salmon too. The salmon is amazing.
Yes. We cooked, it was like a caramelized salmon, or how do you do it? With it was like a little brown sugar or something on top. I made one of those, or like a miso. It was like a miso crust on it. It was quite delicious. Very, very good. So check it out. All fresh ingredients. All right, let's get to the news this morning. I want to talk about the stock market, because boy, the stock market had a bonkers day yesterday, breaking all kinds of records. Just look at these charts. See these charts? You know when you see lines like this that that's some serious stuff. It broke 30,000 for the very first time. And it extended an 8-month rebound that has taken all kinds of, you know, analysts by surprise. They can't really figure this out, because I think that they're being wooed by things. They're not paying attention to the broader picture. These blue chips gauged have advanced about 454 points, up 1.5%. That had a continuing winning streak. It had its best month since 1987. So what's driving all of this? Well, we got, of course, word yesterday. We reported it here that Treasury Secretary under Biden would be Janet Yellen, who is the former Federal Reserve chief from 2014 to 2018. So she's really seen as like a steady hand, and that shored up markets. So they're saying, good. Okay, maybe we're getting some sanity back around the White House. We're going to have somebody who understands the Federal Reserve and is going to be able to work with Jay Powell as the current Federal Reserve chief. So the transition, once we got word yesterday that the GSA was going to start working with the Biden administration, suddenly the stock market just exploded. And it was the market saying, hey, we don't like uncertainty. Good. Now this transition is unfolding. Great. We're just going to start buying. We're going to start buying up our own shares again. All of these people flooded into the market, buying up stocks. And a lot of people can't figure out why. Like, why are you buying up all these crazy stocks right now? It seems like they're wildly overvalued, as I've pointed out before. There's some stocks that have taken off, like Tesla and Moderna. You can see that, right, in Pfizer, because of vaccines being created. Tesla exploding. The demand for electric vehicles and electric batteries. But some of these other stocks... Jim Cramer last night said this is one of the most speculative markets he's ever seen. He doesn't understand the mad rush to buy up a lot of these stocks. He can't figure it out.
What do you think about it all?
Yeah, I think that there's two parts of the market. There's the cyclical market, which is doing very, very well. And then there's the speculative part of the market, which is insane. I mean, we've got a lot of stocks that everyone must think are the next Teslas. And you see those go up so much that you begin to say, well, wait a second. Can that continue forever? And those are the stocks that I'm really watching, because they are the so-called Robin Hood stocks. There's a lot of other people who buy these now, but everything they buy goes higher. And so that's what I'm focused on, is can that continue? Because that speculation is usually met with some sort of big sell-off. Hasn't happened yet, though.
Yeah, hasn't happened yet, though. Hasn't happened yet, though. So notice I titled this video today, you know, hey, stock market surges. Is the crash coming next? I say it's coming next. All the fundamentals haven't changed that I talked about a number of weeks ago. They're all still there. The price to earnings, Buffett indicator off the charts, the amount of debt that these companies are under. But then you look at the Wall Street Journal, and they have to get like a hedge fund quote in there, right? So here's a quote from, I love this guy, Dev Kartasari, a managing partner at Valley Forge Capital Management. Yeah, you know, because these guys make money off of you, right? So the real learning lesson over the last decade is you just put your head down and you don't try to time the market. You just take advantage of weaknesses. Yeah, they have about a $1.1 billion in assets. And over the past 13 years, he's typically held about a fifth of his firm's holdings in cash. At the end of October, that figure was close to zero. So they're just buying up. They're just buying up all of these speculative stocks right now. How can this continue? It can't. That's the answer. The Wall Street Journal called it a self-perpetuating upward spiral. Those are their words, a self-perpetuating upward spiral, defying the pandemic and the accompanying economic woes. all of these underlying problems exist. So if you've got your money in a 401k or some sort of a retirement account that's tied to the stock market, please heed my warning. If you get on the phone with some financial advisor that's managing your money, and by the way, making money off of your money, their interests are in keeping you in the stock market because they continue to make money off of you. You need to be very careful. I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not telling you what to do with your money, but I am telling you to be careful. And I'm showing you all of this data and warning you about this. I mean, when you see headlines like that from the Wall Street Journal that say this is a self-perpetuating stock market, upward spiral, the market appears to be in a self-perpetuating upward spiral. What does that mean? Well, what that means is that when you have all of this corporate debt and you have a Federal Reserve that continues to prop up the market artificially, these companies are using that money to artificially go higher in value by buying back shares of those companies. I showed these to you before, but it's worth repeating because these fundamentals haven't changed. In fact, they've only gotten worse. So we can look at numbers like this and say, wow, the stock market, wow, 30,000, that's amazing, right? That's really amazing how in that short amount of time, they can bounce back from all the way down, can skyrocket to 30,000. While we don't have any stimulus, record unemployment, permanent job loss, and yet the stock market's doing this well. So take a look at this chart, right? This is the non-financial corporate business debt versus and liability level. So the Fed holding all of this national, this non-financial corporate business and debt securities, not getting it off of its balance books. And take a look at this. That's corporate debt. So those are all the companies that are just sitting there taking up as much money as they can, but they're not paying down their debt. So what's happening is a lot of people are investing in companies that they aren't aware how much debt they have. Let me ask you this question. You know, if you had $100 to invest and your neighbor came to you and said, hey, I've got this business idea that I'm working on, and I need $100, you know, as an investment, but I'm also $50,000 in debt, but I have a lot of faith that, you know, things are going to get better. Would you invest with that person? Would you invest in that person? The amount of debt that they're sitting on. That's what people are doing. They're ignoring the amount of corporate debt that these companies have. It's unsustainable. And then here, of course, is the Federal Reserve, how much debt they've been buying up in these horrible, you know, mortgage-backed securities and junk bonds and everything. So this is everything sitting on like Jay Powell's balance sheets right now. Just continues to buy up this crap. And there's no plans to stop through 2023. So that's why this market is continuing to explode. If the Federal Reserve has come to us and said, hey, we have no plans to stop propping you up for the next few years. So then all of these companies are using this extra cash. They're buying their shares back, artificially inflating the value of these stocks. A crash is coming. I promise you this. Just look at the Buffett indicator again. Here's the latest Buffett indicator, which shows that currently the market is valued over at 184.2%. That's how overinflated this thing is right now. So that's when Jim Cramer can get up there and say, this thing is, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but this is out of control.
More calm. What do you think about it all?
Yeah, I think that there's two parts of the market. There's the cyclical market, which is doing very, very well. And then there's the speculative part of the market, which is insane. I mean, we've got a lot of stocks that everyone must think are the next Teslas. And you see those go up so much that you begin to say, well, wait a second. Can that continue forever? And those are the stocks that I'm really watching because they are the so-called Robin Hood stocks. There's a lot of other people who buy these now, but everything they buy goes higher. So that's what I'm focused on is, can that continue? Because that speculation is usually met with some sort of big sell-off. Hasn't happened yet, though.
Yeah, not yet. But he knows it's coming. It hasn't happened yet. Dow is up 62% since its March low. 62%. Of course, it's all been propped up by the Federal Reserve, which ended the panic. And as the Wall Street Journal points out, wiped out trillions of dollars in investments by outlining a plan to counter the pandemic's economic stress. So these low interest rates mean that investors, you know, big and small, are swooping in to try to make as much money as they can in these less risky investments like bonds. So they're betting that this market momentum is going to continue. But all helped by the idea that, hey, Janet Yellen is going to be stepping into the Treasury Department. Will she, in fact, push for broader stimulus? She's going to be working hand in hand with Jay Powell. This is seen as a boon to the stock market because that's not going to change. They're going to continue to buy up corporate junk bonds, all of this crap. They're going to continue to help Wall Street while the American people get slammed. Proving once again how out of touch President Trump has been in this whole discussion about the stock market and people, right? Hey, the stock market's doing fantastic. That means you're doing fantastic at home, aren't you? How many people watching right now are feeling better today, doing so much better today because the stock market hit 30,000 yesterday? Is your life dramatically improved today? President Trump thinks it is. He ties his self-worth to how the market does.
I wonder if that's just
really
like if people are live that world, right? There's somebody that lives the stock market world. Right. They at some point, do they actually, he must actually think that that affects us because it's all he knows.
He would watch those headlines. He said that during the debate, which, you know, Biden ended up slamming him for it. You know, he brought up, he's like, well, you know, people's 401ks, that's the stock markets, real people tied to the stock market. First of all, a fraction of Americans have 401ks to start with. But the stock market, as I've pointed out relentlessly here on the show, rewards, businesses firing people, downsizing. The stock market likes when companies cut people out of their salaries, cut salaries, eliminate people, unemployment. That means that company is leaner and meaner. And guess what? We'll invest in them then as a result. So the stock market is not tied to reality. And by the way, it's tied to a few big companies that move the needle. So it's not, all these like little companies and so forth. It's not tied to any of that. It's not tied to Main Street. If you hear that Wall Street's doing better, but yet you drive down your street, your little town, how many of those businesses are boarded up? Yet that didn't stop Trump yesterday from coming out and doing this like little bizarre 1 minute long press conference. Like he just came to the podium for like 1 minute to talk about the stock market breaking records and to take credit for it and then walked away.
The stock market Dow Jones Industrial Average just hit 30,000, which is the highest in history. We've never broken 30,000. And that's just despite everything that's taken place with the pandemic. I'm very thrilled with what's happened on the vaccine front. That's been absolutely incredible. It's nothing like that has ever happened medically. And I think people are acknowledging that, and it's having a big effect. But the stock market's just broken 30,000, never been broken, that number. That's a sacred number, 30,000. Nobody thought they'd ever see it.
That's a sacred number. I want you to remember that. That's a sacred number. He's a deeply spiritual man.
Ninth time since the beginning of 2020. And it's the 48th time that we've broken records during the Trump administration. And I just want to congratulate all the people within the administration that work so hard. And most importantly, I want to congratulate the people of our country, because there are no people like you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
That was it. I want to congratulate you, David, because there's no people like you. You're unique.
My name is sacred.
Your name is sacred. So people at home sitting there saying, well, I don't have food on the table. I saw the president came on TV today and my job is permanently gone now. And, my wife had to leave her job in order to homeschool our children. You guys decided to cut stimulus at the federal level. You don't think we need unemployment benefits anymore. And, I can't pay my mortgage, but hey, thank you for saying that I'm a good person. And thank you for rewarding Wall Street, which is totally disconnected from my reality. Unbelievable. So there you go. Do you feel any better today?
Yeah, 30,000. How many new homes in the Poconos are going to be purchased now? These guys living high in the hog over the holidays while we wonder where the next meal's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are outrageous. I mean, I was looking at housing numbers this morning and the people that are, you know, leaving and getting out of the cities and going out and buying, you know, buying these homes out in the middle of the sticks, because they don't need to be in the city anymore. Mortgage interest rates over the past 24 hours, the demand for housing exploded in the past 24 hours. Mortgage rates hitting an all-time low, and banks have just been overwhelmed with people trying to get mortgages. Again, it's a tale of two economies. You know, it's this K-shaped recovery that we talk about. So you see on the one hand of the upper part of the K is Wall Street, wealthy Americans. The bottom are all those people left behind. But what I find so interesting is that Trump's standing there at the podium talking about how it's his administration that led to this $30,000 boom. And yet, as the Wall Street Journal and others reported yesterday, is because of the fact that the transition is now starting to another administration. This uncertainty. That's why we saw this explosion yesterday, is because now the transition is actually happening for Team Biden and the announcement of Janet Yellen as Treasury Secretary. And yes, advancements in the vaccine. We should not underscore that at all. What this Operation Warp Speed in getting these vaccines to the fore is an absolute, you know, history-making event by the United States government to do that. But make no bones about it. Like, this was because of the transition news that came out yesterday and Janet Yellen's news that came out yesterday, all of that. And further stimulus that likely will come towards the end of January with the help of Fed Chief Jerome Powell and Janet Yellen working hand in hand. So there's your stock market. It's sacred. Let me know your thoughts on that. Smash the like button. Subscribe to the channel. By the way, we have our daily morning newsletter that comes out every morning. You can download it for free, where we cover business news, progressive issues that I think are important. By the way, a story we covered today in the newsletter, you can go to morninginvest.com is how you get the newsletter for free. We had a story that I find troubling because my wife and I are really like sort of anti-plastic crusaders. Can't stand single-use plastics in the environment. I can't stand when I'm walking along the road or the beach, I see all these little pieces of plastic that wash up after a storm that are in the ocean. Starbucks cups are pretty darn toxic. You drink one of those holiday drinks from Starbucks, and the plastic lining that's inside those cups is really awful for us. And it's not just Starbucks. Yes. I mean, all those cups, you see that, like, that plastic lining on any side of inside of a paper cup. You think you got that boiling hot beverage in there, that's safe? No, turns out it's not. That's why we need to bring like our reusable mugs. You know, if you're going to go to the coffee place, just bring your own mug, your own steel tumbler, and just say, hey, fill it up here. I don't need this reusable plastic crap anymore. We talked about that in the newsletter this morning. All right, we've got more news to get to this morning. Let's check in on G-Dog. You're environmentally conscious. So you've got your giant vat of coffee in the big glass.
Yes, in my mason jar.
In your mason jar. I've got mine in my little. I got my little iced coffee this morning. I made a little Peruvian iced coffee. All right, let's talk about this. Well, we could see a Sidney Powell lawsuit from the Trump administration as early as today. Sidney Powell was Trump's lawyer. We don't really know. I mean, Giuliani basically came out and said, she's not really a part of our team at all. She kind of operates on her own. She's in her own legal practice. She's not tied to the Trump administration. She doesn't represent the president. And yet she's going forward with lawsuits helping the president in Georgia specifically, but she said this could go nationwide. Meanwhile, she's being laughed off of Fox News. You never thought you'd see. So we'll get to all of that in a second. But she says she's today about to drop a bit of a bombshell, that she's got overwhelming evidence that the documents she has are so voluminous that shows widespread national fraud, not just like a few fraudulent voting situations unfolding in Georgia. No, no. There was a nationwide collaboration to defraud voters of their votes, and the election should go back to President Trump. and that that whatever he's a, what is Biden up by, like 7 million votes at this point, that that should be invalidated and that Trump should get the election victory. So we're going to see that today. So she broke this news last night on Lou Dobbs' show, who was basically kissing her butt the entire show. Here's what she had to say last night on Lou Dobbs' show about what we could see unfolding today. I just want you to listen to just the nonsense that she's spinning about Venezuela and how this evidence is so overwhelming and that somehow Donald Trump deserves a second term because there is a scheme devised by Hugo Chavez, who died in 2013, in order to sway votes from Democrats or from Republicans to Democrats. See if you can follow this circuitous logic.
I think many Americans have given no thought to electoral fraud that would be perpetrated through electronic voting. That is, these machines, these electronic voting companies, including Dominion, prominently Dominion, at least in the suspicions of a lot of Americans. We don't even know who has actually seen this software work. We don't know where their servers are for sure. We know a couple of them are overseas.
First of all, we heard from Dominion spokesperson yesterday. They're not connected to the internet. These machines are not connected to, they're not connected to servers. They're individualized machines that aren't connected to the internet. But go on, Techmaster.
And by overseas, I mean in Germany and Spain. It's just stunning that we have progressed this far with these companies and have permitted these entities that we don't know what their ownership is. We don't know what their possible bias is. How could this be?
Because of all the corruption in the country, we need to find a
way. Oh, thank you for that. It's because of all the corruption in the country. How is that even an answer to the question?
Way to follow the money back as far even as when this was approved by the special government committee called CFIUS, S-C-F-I-U-S, which are the heads of the mm-hmm. respective agencies at the time who approved Dominion mm-hmm. coming into the country and running our elections. And, I mean, Carolyn Maloney and Klobuchar and Warren have been raising Cain about this issue for a long time.
Right.
But nobody's done anything about it.
And as last year.
Yeah, and as best I can tell, both parties have any number of people who are at fault in the fact this has continued to play right. any role in our elections whatsoever. And we have no idea of who all has benefited from it. Somebody needs to do a massive money following investigation to find out who paid what to whom.
Well, you have promised a Kraken will be.
Yeah, have you been hearing this hashtag, right? So she's been promising, I'm going to unleash the Kraken, this massive bombshell of a lawsuit. I'm going to unleash the Kraken. When is the Kraken coming? That's going to shake everything up with all of your evidence. So much so that the Trump administration has walked away from her and said that we don't have anything to do with her. She's working on her own now. Even Rudy Giuliani, the man who went to the Four Seasons Landscaping Company next to a porn store and a crematorium, has distanced himself from her. Like, she's too crazy for Rudy Giuliani. When's this Kraken coming that you said was going to shake everything up?
Unleashed. We were expecting perhaps your suit would be filed to yesterday or today. When shall we expect your lawsuit?
Well, I think no later than tomorrow. It's just going to be, it's a massive document. And it's going to have a lot of exhibits.
It's going to have a lot of exhibits. So there's going to be a lot of evidence. There's going to be a lot of affidavits.
And who will be the defendant or defendants?
The defendants are going to be folks in Georgia who are responsible for supposedly making sure the elections in Georgia are done properly. And there are just countless incidents of voter fraud and election fraud writ large in Georgia.
Writ large, yeah.
In Georgia, are you planning any other suits beyond Georgia?
Yes, we are. We'll be rolling them out as fast as we possibly can. because it affected the entire country, actually. We even have an affidavit now from a distant state that's done by one of the election officials in the state telling us all the things that person witnessed as being wrong there.
Oh, wow. A distant state. This really sounds serious. We just have a ton of affidavits. Let me remind you of the affidavits that we talked about yesterday here on the show in Maricopa County, where that judge laughed the Trump lawyers out of the courtroom because the way that those affidavits had been collected, they couldn't really separate the ones they knew were false from the ones that they think may or may not have been false, but they weren't really sure, so they still submitted them as evidence. So they're still able to submit them as evidence because there's very little likelihood that someone would actually get in trouble with perjury. So you just submit them anyway. There's very little chance that the court is going to come back and say, hey, you were full of crap. So you just submit them, even if you have no evidence whatsoever. This person thought that they were manipulated at the polls. We found them in an online forum. We had them fill out this affidavit. We're going to offer you a reward if you come forward, and then we'll submit it as evidence. Okay. There's been no evidence so far, but somehow she's sitting on volumes of it. And now the Trump administration has literally walked away from her in a week. So I guess she's doing this on her own. I don't know. I don't know who's paying her. Is it some super PAC that's paying her? Like, how is she making this money? Or is she doing this pro bono just to raise her position, raise her brand awareness? I don't know. There's money coming from somewhere. If she's having to sit there and write a massive complaint that's going to be brought to the courts in Georgia, she's going to get paid. I'd love to know who's paying her. So Fox News took this on and they took it seriously. And Tucker Carlson's show took her to task and really demolished her over the past few days. Had been having back and forth conversations with her. Please share your evidence with us. Like, please, what do you have? Like, what is this fraud you're talking about? Share it with us. We will show it here on the show. Come on the show. So listen to Tucker destroy Sidney Powell.
The Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either, nor did she provide any today at the press conference. Powell did say that electronic voting is dangerous, and she's right. We're with her there. But she never demonstrated that a single actual vote was moved. The Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence. For more than a week, Powell has been all over conservative media with the following story. This election was stolen by a collection of international leftists who manipulated vote tabulating software in order to flip millions of votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. The other day on television, Powell said of Trump that when the fraud is finally uncovered, quote, I think we'll find he had at least 80 million votes. In other words, rigged software stole about 7 million votes in this election. Here's some of what Powell said today about the software.
One of its most characteristic features is its ability to flip votes. It can set and run an algorithm that probably ran all over the country to take a certain percentage of votes from President Trump and flip them to President Biden, which we might never have uncovered had the votes for President Trump not been so overwhelming in so many of these states that it broke the algorithm that had been plugged into the system. And that's what caused them to have to shut down in the states they shut down in.
The algorithm broke, by the way. They're not connected to the internet, but the algorithm broke. Okay.
That was a few hours ago, but Sidney Powell has been saying similar things for days. On Sunday night, we texted her after watching one of her segments. What Powell was describing would amount to the single greatest crime in American history. Millions of votes stolen in a day. Democracy destroyed. The end of our centuries-old system of self-government. Not a small thing. Now, to be perfectly clear, we did not dismiss any of it. We don't dismiss anything anymore, particularly when it's related to technology. We've talked to too many Silicon Valley whistleblowers. We've seen too much. After 4 years, this may be the single most open-minded show on television. We literally do UFO segments, not because we're crazy or even been interested in the subject, but because there is evidence that UFOs are real and everyone lies about it. There's evidence that a lot of things that responsible people use to dismiss out of hand as ridiculous are in fact real. And we don't care who mocks it. The louder the Yale Political Science Department and the staff of the Atlantic magazine scream, conspiracy theory, the more interested we tend to be. That's usually a sign you're over the target. A lot of people with impressive sounding credentials in this country are frauds. They have no idea what they're doing. They're children posing as authorities. And when they're caught, they lie and then they blame you for it. We see that every day. It's the central theme of this show and will continue to be. So that's a long way of saying we took Sidney Powell seriously. We had no intention of fighting with her. We've always respected her work. We simply wanted to see the details. How could you not want to see them? So we invited Sidney Powell on the show. We would have given her the whole hour. We would have given her the entire week, actually, and listened quietly the whole time at rapt attention. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her. When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either, nor did she provide any today at the press conference. Powell did say that electronic voting is dangerous, and she's right. We're with her there. But she never demonstrated that a single actual vote was moved illegitimately by software from one candidate to another. Not one. So why are we telling you this? We're telling you this because it's true. And in the end, that's all that matters. The truth. It's our only hope. It's our best defense.
Wow. Truth. It's our only hope. So today, will we see a press conference? Will we see a lawsuit from Sidney Powell that actually has proof that millions of votes across the country in the greatest fraud scheme in American history has happened? Think about what would have to happen in order for that to happen. There would have to be massive collaboration in secret. And not just like Dominion voting machines, but as she points out, things that aren't even like not even related to the Dominion voting machines. And this would have to be in municipality after municipality after municipality, which are not connected at all. And each of these municipalities handles their own elections. So the amount of fraud that would have to take place, premeditated, coordinated at a national level with no one knowing about it, moving millions of votes using, as she says, an algorithm that ran rampant across the country, across machines that aren't even connected to the internet and aren't connected to each other. So this one machine over here is not connected to this machine. And yet somehow someone was able to use a thumb drive to shove a thumb drive into one of these machines and boom, it just switches votes. That's what it does. Like a Willy Wonka machine. Now it spits all these interesting new gumballs. Hey, show me the money. Show me the proof. And I tell you what, if there is massive fraud to the point where, wow, she's proven right, I will come back right on the show tomorrow. Tell you what, you know, hey, judge looked at all the evidence. She's right. And I will come back here and tell you that she's right. But I don't see it. And she hasn't shown one iota of evidence yet that this has happened. So we'll keep watching it. Let me know your thoughts. Drop me a comment below. Thank you so much for subscribing to the show. I really appreciate it. And we will continue to keep our eye on that story. Hey, I want to tell you about how you can get 4 free stocks right now for free, totally free. And you don't even have to do anything. You can get the free stocks and then sell them if you want to and close your account just by going to morninginvest.com/Webull. Morninginvest.com/Webull. Open up your free trading account. They will give you 2 stocks for free just for opening the account. And then when you deposit $100 into the account, you'll get 2 more stocks valued up to $1,600. They choose them at random. And they're starting their cryptocurrency. They just started this past week. It's been a huge hit. So if you'd like to trade Bitcoin or Ethereum, you can do so right inside the Webull app now, which is fantastic. So I'm going to be doing more of that. and buying Bitcoin. You can do that all right inside of the app. And guess what? Here's what you could do, by the way. Here's a brilliant idea. Open up the account for free, get your free stocks, keep the account open, sell the stocks. Now you've got, like, you know, however much money you have that they gave you, right? $1,000, $1,600. Buy Bitcoin with that money. So it's almost like they're giving you free money in stocks that you could then use and roll into cryptocurrency if you wanted to. So there you go. That's how you check it out. Morninginvest.com/Webull. Grover agrees. That is a great deal, don't you, buddy? What do you think? That is a really good deal. Any good comments coming in? While I've got some more stories here I want to get to in a moment.
Yeah, we had two super chats come in. Sharon Pulliam is, Clayton, what do you think about annuities, looking to invest?
I am not well-versed in annuities. Didn't we have... We were looking at it, though, weren't we? But we didn't pull the trigger on that. So that's not an area of expertise that I have. I'm a bigger fan of, I'm a bigger fan of real estate, precious metals, and cryptocurrency. But I am not a fan of, you can buy some of these life insurance programs. You have to be careful about it. We've done a whole bunch of interviews and stories about buying into these like life insurance programs that you can then borrow money from them, and it becomes, you can use that investment money that's in that retirement or inside of that life insurance account to invest. But it's, I'm still not convinced on it. I've done so many interviews on it now, and I still have not come around on it.
And then Christina Ellis wants to know, can you explain Mnuchin's mentality toward the economy? What is his strategy for the $455 billion unused CARES Act money?
Well, he's wanted to deploy that money. I mean, back when we were having these negotiations back, at the end of August into September, he kept saying like that money should be redeployed into PPP programs. We should be using that money that's already been allocated. But it's still sitting there, I suppose. And look, we know that Janet Yellen wants money going into state and local governments. So all of these states that have these big budget shortfalls right now that are bleeding cash, this would be an opportunity for them to reapportion that money, take that $450 billion and put it towards state and local governments so they can keep people working. They can keep the lights on, pay firefighters and police officers, and keep some of these unemployment services running.
Any stimulus news?
I mean, the only stimulus news we have is how you saw Wall Street excited yesterday over selecting Janet Yellen as Treasury Secretary. It seems like if we're going to see any stimulus this year at all, it'll be closer to that $500 billion that Mitch McConnell wants. But that's about it. I think that we lost any real chance of meaningful stimulus before the end of the year. I just don't see it happening. So we're going to have to basically wait till the end of January, unless a Christmas miracle happens. Remember, they've only got a few days. They're on break right now, folks. They're on vacation. Mitch McConnell sent the Senate home, and they've got to figure out they've got to have a continuing resolution to keep the government open by December 11th. So they've got to tackle that first. Now there are some thoughts that maybe we could stick in a $1,200 stimulus check inside of that continuing resolution for a vote, because both sides seem to agree that a $1,200 stimulus check would be useful, helpful. There's no doubt about that. There's agreement on that. So could they put that into the continuing resolution to keep the government open? I don't know. At this stage, I don't see, I think all eyes are on January 5th, because Biden yesterday or the other day at a press conference was talking about wiping away student loan debt and the stimulus. And he sort of hedged his bets because I think all eyes are on this January 5th runoff elections in Georgia for these two Senate seats. And if Democrats get control of the Senate, then you could see meaningful stimulus at a congressional level first. If you don't, if Democrats do not win the Senate, then start to look for Biden to write executive actions and executive orders. But you don't want to do that. It's just not as effective. And there's a lot of questions as to the length of that when you write an executive order like that. If you have it written by Congress and it's solidified by Congress, then it has a tendency to last longer. And they can also tell you what happens over the next few years if they write it into law. But if it's through an executive order, it can just be a temporary one-off thing. So again, I think it all comes down to these Georgia runoff elections right after Christmas. And we'll see. We will see. Yeah, Nicole Barber says, I'm so disappointed in our government. I say, well, we all take away their pay until they do what's right for us. Yeah, that'd be nice. But of course, they control their own they give themselves raises, which is great, right? They vote to give themselves raises.
Some of them have become 100 millionaires while in office.
Well, speaking of stimulus, I should do this story. Well, you know, speaking of stimulus, so it turns out convicted murderers are getting stimulus money and you're not. Yeah, this story is amazing. And it has people in California scratching their heads like, how in the world could one of the largest fraud cases in California history have happened this way? And Scott Peterson, a wife and child murdering Scott Peterson, who's convicted number of years ago, they threw the key away on him. He had his death sentence commuted recently, so he's going to be in there for the rest of his life. He's one of them. Inmates in California filed for and received COVID-related unemployment benefits, including Scott Peterson. This guy is getting unemployment benefits. Well, yours has run out, just for some context. This is according to the Sacramento County District Attorney. Between March and August, these inmates filed 35,000 claims for approximately $140 million of stimulus money. And guess what? The state sent them the money. How dumb do you have to be at the state level when you see these claims coming in? Oh, Sacramento County Correctional Facility. Man, there's a lot of people there that getting some good stimulus money. Oh, you guys are getting a lot of mail lately. Like the mail guy shows, you know, the mailman shows up at the penitentiary. Hey, Bob. Yeah, we're getting a lot of mail lately. A lot of letters coming from the Sacramento County Treasury Department for stimulus money. 35,000 of these things showing up. Some of them received the money directly while they were in prison. Are they like literally sliding stimulus money through the bars? You got some more mail, Scott. Oh, good. It's more stimulus money. How do you even cash a check when you're in prison? And are you getting mail orders, money orders in prison? What do you do with that? Do you go down to like the prison gift shop and turn it in? Like you go down to buy smokes, ring dings, or other things like at the prison gift shop. Like, what are you doing with that money? You're in there for life anyway. What are you doing with that? By the way, you killed your whole family, so it's not like you're sending your money home to your kids. But you're getting stimulus money, so you get a money order. I'm serious. I don't understand how this works. You get a money order. Do you take it downstairs to the prison gift shop where you can buy like snow globes? Like, you know, and souvenirs and like hoodie sweatshirts and things.
No, what you probably is you probably get a couple of guards on your side and they funnel it for you.
Like they take it home and they pop over at the ATM.
Yeah. And then they get a little scrape off the top. I mean, how else would you do that in that system? How in the world would you get access to outside unless you had somebody that could help you?
I mean, unless you're using like a mobile app, you know, I guess like a check, like, right, you know, like you've got your Bank of America or your Wells Fargo checking account app and you just take a photo of the check, you know, and it goes in your account.
But they get,
I guess maybe that's how
they get access to phones. Like they get mobile phones in there.
Don't they? I mean,
and if they do, who the heck is their carrier that can get, they can get through those concrete walls.
Right. T-Mobile. Cricket Wireless. Yeah. Our cell coverage is so good, it can penetrate penitentiary walls. Scott Peterson is one of our clients. That's right. At Cricket Wireless, I love their service.
Instant access to your stimulus checks.
They save me countless time. I don't have to then hand my money order to a prison guard anymore to take it downtown. Now I can use my phone right here inside the penitentiary, snap a photo, and it's in my account that same afternoon. Some of the money was legitimately sent to the inmates, and some of it went to falsified Social Security numbers. And with names, I love these names, with names such as Poopy Britches. Poopy Britches. Yep, your taxpayer dollars meant for stimulus money went to Poopy Britches. $140 million that could have gone out to people that legitimately needed it. I mean, my question is, I guess like Scott Peterson, these guys are away for life. They're like, what else are we going to do? We're just hanging out behind prison. Can we just scam the system? Can we just have some fun? But it seems to be, when you have that many people involved in it, 35,000 people, like there had to be collaboration between these people orchestrating this fraud. But the biggest fraud in California's history happened from people behind bars getting stimulus money. I don't know if they've been able to get it back. That's the big question. Have they been able to get it back and returned? We'll see. This is your government at work. I just can't get over how they kept mailing these checks out to the penitentiary. They just kept sending these checks out to people that are behind bars for convicted murder. Like, don't they check this stuff? Don't they cross-reference this? Aren't you supposed to, when you're getting unemployment benefits, like check in once a week with your unemployment officer and have a conversation with them like Costanza on Seinfeld? Remember he had to keep going in and telling her that he's like looking for work?
Well, and other than what Medicaid and Medicare, name an efficient bureaucracy. Like, I don't know that any of them, you know what I mean? Like, generally, when the government takes anything over, the service gets worse and the cost goes up.
How about the TSA? No.
No.
How about the post office? No. How about the IRS? No. How about the DMV? The DMV. Highly efficient, right?
Department of Education? Well, FEMA. You know, like Rick Perry said, we need to shut down those, three, four, how many things did he want to shut down?
How many different agencies? two, three, energy, education. Well, speaking of healthcare, we need Medicare for all right now. We needed it 5 years ago. We needed it 10 years ago. Our healthcare system is an absolute disaster. Stop falling for the propaganda that America has the greatest healthcare system in the world. Yeah, we've got great doctors. We've got great advancements in science and technology that is so expensive that a lot of the hospitals and dentist's office don't even use the technology and they ship it overseas because, well, a lot of these places can't afford to use it and people can't afford to pay for it. The leading nurses union has a brand new study out right now that highlights the need for Medicare for all. And it's a massive study that looks at the amount that hospitals are charging for basic services. So this is a study by the healthcare data nonprofit in the spring. They found that uninsured coronavirus patients or those that receive care, which were considered out of network by their insurer, faced costs ranging from $42,000 to $74,000 if they require inpatient treatment for coronavirus. Yeah, coronavirus causing people to go bankrupt because they don't have health care. So you want to fix something immediately? This is what we should be focused on, is our healthcare system and a Medicare for all program that takes care of the American people. One of the 100 of the most expensive hospitals in the United States charge between $1,200 and $1,800 for every $100 of their costs, which means they're marking up their costs for basic services and basic health care by 1,800%. 1,800% markup. So you want a Tylenol? Like my wife, when she was giving birth with our son, wanted a Tylenol. And on her bill, it was a bill for, what was it, $350 for that Tylenol? One Tylenol was $350.
Well, and you know the saline that you get, the drip, the saline drip?
Yeah.
In the UK, I saw a thing where it was like $8 for a saline drip bag was $800 in the United States.
That's absurd. That, I mean, that's absolute corruption. $800 for a saline bag, $350 for a Tylenol. You know, this is why people won't. They're like, I'm not going to go to the hospital and have my baby. I'm going to do it. And it's going to be in an unhealthy environment because I can't afford it. Even like if I have to pay the $1,200, $1,500 copay. My wife and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, the royal baby, the cost to have the baby was total for the royal baby was $1,800. Oh, $1,500. I'm sorry. I even inflated it. $1,500. 1,500 pounds. Stop randomly giving me numbers. 1,300 pounds.
Can I get 12?
Can I get 12? Can I get 12? Going once, going twice. So 1,300 pounds. That's how much to have the royal baby.
And our how many son, pounds was the baby? So that how many pounds was that right. per?
seven pounds, 3 ounces. My son, Miles, who was born in New York City, and we had to share a hospital room with somebody else. I think a woman who was like, what? Oh, she had a C-section. Yeah. And she was screaming the whole time. We paid it with the copay. It was like $1,800 just with the copay. And I had insurance. So the royal baby cost less than Miles to be born, which seems right. I mean, he's royalty, to be honest, but that, I mean, and then the total hospital bill ends up being like over $30,000. And they jack these prices up because they know the insurance companies will pay for it. So when you have Joe Biden talking about tweaking Obamacare and talking about just really basically subsidizing the insurance companies, it's just a windfall for insurance companies. With Medicare for All, it would eliminate that. But of course, you've got a big insurance and big healthcare providers that want all of this money. These costs are killing people. Because they're not willing to pay for it, so they'd rather stay home than get the care and treatment that they need. Take a look at these numbers. So these are for the outpatient, inpatient Medicare, medical care from 1999 to 2018. I mean, just look at that. The rise in, you know, overall hospitals across the United States charging an average of $417 for every $100 of their costs. And this average markup, if you look at these dates, has more than doubled over the past two decades. And these hospital profits have skyrocketed, these private hospitals and others, but 411% their profits are up.
Well, you know, the thing is, if we were charged at actual prices, like we could almost afford, even if we didn't have insurance, we could afford to go to the doctor.
Yeah, if we were charged like at cost.
I remember when I was a kid, we went to an Amish doctor in Indiana, and this guy charged $15 for a visit. So you could go in, get a checkup, get your thing, your physical or whatever, and it was like $15 to $20. And that's in my lifetime.
Yeah.
That was in the 70s.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I remember growing up being able to go to the doctor for like a simple price, like at our local family doctor. It was not absurd like this. This is off the charts. While insurers often negotiate prices with hospitals, according to this report, uninsured patients have little recourse. Latinos are nearly three times as likely as black people, are nearly twice as likely to be uninsured than white Americans. The National Nurses Unit report findings further make the case for a Medicare for All system because Medicare is the most effective system to limit price gouging. And according to this report, it says the most viable solution to slowing the growth in hospital charges and the continued inflation of hospital prices is to bring all healthcare purchasers together under a public nationwide single payer plan.
You know, when you hear them arguing against Medicare for All, it's most likely that's, you know, they're taking into consideration. Yeah. Okay. If you consider to charge the government the prices that they're currently paying, sure, it wouldn't work. But if you would like charge actual prices, Medicare would save
Just imagine how much money it would actually save if we, unless it, right. versus continuing on with this system where it's just price gouging.
Well, you know, the politicians aren't behind it. You know, you have a few progressive politicians that want it, that want Medicare for all. Bernie Sanders has been calling for it. Out of control hospital bills, out of control Medicare, medical costs, prescription drug prices, where like almost all of your money from your take-home pay has to go for medicines. You know, Trump doesn't want it. Biden doesn't want the single-payer system. I think we need to be careful about a single-payer system, to be honest with you, but I think a Medicare for all structure is right. You know, their hospitals are arguing that they're going to lose money under Medicare. Oh, really? Well, 411% increase in your profits? So you're making money off of people who are hurt and injured or need healthcare or are hurting? This should not be something where, you know, like in other countries, you just don't see these like ads for all of these different pharmaceuticals. Why do I need to watch a 30-second ad for this, you know, this like heart medication? Why would I need to see? Why? And then I have to listen to 10 seconds of disclaimers. May cause diarrhea. May cause blah, 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 blah. Like, where that doesn't happen in other countries. You should ask yourself, something is totally wrong with our system when we're having to watch every, just watch afternoon television, you know, watch your soap operas in the afternoon.
Well, and that's why when there's a
drug commercials,
when there's a huge percentage of the population that wants something like Medicare for all and this other stuff, it, you just have to look at like who would lose, like not benefit from that happening. And that's who they're in the pocket for. Like they, the drug industry, they don't want that. The insurance industry doesn't want that. You look at free education, the colleges don't want that. You look at who's going to, they feel like they're going to lose money. So they lobby Congress and pay them because they know that's worth it. Like it's better for them to pay millions of dollars to these senators and congressmen to get these bills to pass or not to pass rather so that they don't lose their paychecks. That's yeah, all it's exactly. about.
And it's about paying these administrators. It's about making, you know, it's about artificially inflating the cost of things so that these people are making money hand over fist. I think that the one of the pieces in this report, I mean, it talks about Canada. Americans spend twice as much per person as Canadians on healthcare. But instead of buying better care, the extra spending that the U.S. spends is on profits and useless paperwork. That means 34% of the healthcare expenditures go towards administrative costs in the United States, just paperwork. Because we have an antiquated electronic system, by the way. You know, in other countries in Europe, you've got your health ID number, and everything electronically is tied to that health ID number. And you know your health ID number, like by heart. It's like your social security number. And everything you get in your life is tied in a database. You got vaccines when you were this age. You got the, you know, you had chicken pox when you were 9. You went to this hospital visit to get your ears checked when you were 12. It's all there. But in America, we don't have that. And so if you want to transfer or move a doctor, they've got to fax over and get them to write a permission slip for you to get your old doctor's records, which, you know, are on paper. So no wonder we're paying twice as much. And almost all of that money goes to paperwork and administrative costs. It's not going to healthcare. It's going to the overhead of healthcare. If we would just eliminate that 34%, we could save, you know, we could save thousands of dollars for patients.
Well, in drug prices, Amanda Hamilton said her son has cystic fibrosis and one of his medications is $31,000 a month.
Oh my God. What? Jeez.
And they probably know that because they probably know that's what's sustaining his life. So it's like, well, if it's a life-sustaining drug, look at what we can charge for it.
Right. Right. And what about a system that actually rewards preventative health? Wouldn't that be a novel idea? So no, we're not rewarding those that make money off of the treatments. What if we could avoid it altogether, where you never have to go get treatments? Obamacare, of course, is what President-elect Biden wants to expand. He wants to call it Biden Care, as he said. But some of the modeling shows that the administrative costs under an expanded Obamacare would actually go up, costing us more money. Of course, the rap against Obamacare to begin with is that it costs more money, that it's more expensive. People's health care has gone up. Why? Because of all the extra paperwork, administrative costs. Without the savings to overhead, without the pharmaceutical costs, without the hospital and the clinical fees, all the fraud detection, Medicare for all, for those who want it, could annually cost $175 billion. That's over $600 billion more than Medicare for all. That costs more than a Medicare for all program. By doing all of those things, without the savings to the overhead, without the pharmaceutical costs, without the hospital and clinical fees, and fraud detection, the Medicare for all who want it could cost $175 billion more than what we currently have. And that's over $600 billion more than Medicare for all would cost. And for those who say we can't afford it, like even Biden says we can't afford a Medicare for all program. Even Trump says we can't afford a Medicare for all program. And yet, again, we can spend $750 billion a year on defense budgets.
What they really mean to say is Wall Street can't afford Medicare for all.
Mm-hmm. We can't hurt Moderna. We can't hurt Pfizer. We can't hurt these. We can't expect them to take less profit, can we? These for-profit hospitals that are doing just fine.
Well, unfortunately, the Medicare system is actually pretty solid. You know, like it's pretty efficient. So you it's already in place.
Yeah, it's very efficient. You know, there's critics, of course, that say that if we switch to the single payer system, that doctors are going to get out of the business. We've been hearing this for years.
You mean like greedy doctors might get out of the business and people would get into the field that actually care about people? That's what you would end up with?
Right. Or, you know, you've seen over the past number of years, so many doctors who just decide not to become surgeons, et cetera, because of malpractice, lawsuits, et cetera, that they, you know, want to become plastic surgeons. They want to just do breast implants. That's what their focus is, you know, less malpractice. They don't have to deal with it as much, more lucrative. This study, Federal Reserve survey published last year, found that 25% of American adults skipped necessary medical care in 2018 because they were unable to afford the costs. Another found that 26% of Americans with diabetes have rationed their insulin because of the cost. That should not be happening.
I'm just floored by some of the costs.
This massive report.
I was going to say really quick, some of the costs that people are saying they're paying for medication and hospital bills and stuff in the chat is astronomical. It's just unbelievable.
Tell me, what are people saying here?
Kitty and, Jones.
Drop me a line. I want to hear your comments. Kitty Jones.
Jones said she takes Gleevec.
Gleevec.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, for leukemia. The cost is $150,000 a month, according to the statement. I had to get a pass not to pay that. Holy cow. $150,000 a month?
Like, what is in a drug? Like, what rare metal or something is in a drug to justify $150,000? It doesn't even cost that to process anything.
Well, you remember Martin Shkreli, of course, that the pharma bro, right? And it's not often I'll call somebody a scumbag, but that guy, an absolute scumbag who, you know, knew what he was doing, smirking the entire time through his trial, running up massively drug prices, price gouging. And again, you wouldn't have this under a Medicare for all plan. It's just awful.
Well, and it's literally, if you look at the drugs that they're charging the most for, it's the life sustaining drugs that they know people are not going to let someone die. They're going to pay it. Like it's like coercion.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do? Just die? I can't take my leukemia medicine. I'm going to mortgage my house to live. Again, greatest country in the world. Greatest country in the world. You know, the other day, Vice President-elect or President-elect Biden tweeted, America is back. Back where? What does that mean? Back. We're back.
Yeah. Where did we even go?
Right. We're back. We're back to this crap. I see someone saying here, Shelley Pelt says insulin for a diabetic cost over $1,000 a month. Becky Medved says, I pay $300 a month for three medicines. I mean, think about that. That's rent. You know, my rule of thumb, and the rule of thumb I think of a lot of people that are in, sort of in the finance space, basically say you shouldn't be spending more than 25% of your take-home pay on a mortgage payment. How much are you supposed to be spending on medicine per month? America is sad. And all the people, Brandy says, you know, Brandy says, just think of all of us who lost our health care during the pandemic. And Brandy, you lost your health care? Sherry Kraft says three of my inhalers are up in the thousands of dollars. The rest of my meds are off the charts. I'm trying to pay for oxygen right now.
Jeez.
Lisa Hill says I have TBI and suffer from things attributed to a car accident. I have meds that start out at $15,000 down to $300 per month. $15,000.
You want to know why there's overwhelming support for Medicare for All? You're hearing it right now.
Right here. I have like chills thinking about this. And you think about these politicians that didn't want to run on this, didn't have the balls to talk about it. Who would be against it? Except the corporatists in Wall Street, the corporate greed, those who are against it. Those are the people that keep the Mitch McConnells in place, the Nancy Pelosi's in place. They funnel millions of dollars to their campaigns, and they keep them from ever trying to bring something like this to the floor. I said we've got this hodgepodge Obamacare, which is basically just subsidies for insurance companies, driving up the cost of things.
Well, the thing is also, you see people a lot of times saying, well, good old capitalism. But the thing is, this is a bastardized capitalism. This is crony capitalism. This isn't true capitalism.
Yeah. You know, but don't you think, though, I mean, at some point we got to wash our hands of this system.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's definitely broken.
You know, we talk about this being like a failed state or this is broken. I mean, you know, when people say, well, that, you know, where do you want to go? Socialism? No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you want to look at like Norway, you want to look at other countries that are market-based economies. People go to work. People pay higher taxes, but you don't have this crap. You have a much higher standard of living. You don't have people left behind. You don't have people. I mean, look, people don't. I mean, there's like zero crime. You have some of the best healthcare in the world. You have some of the best education systems in the world. People don't leave Norway. Do you ever hear of people like, there's like a mass exodus of people leaving Norway or Denmark? Like they just got to get out of there. It's just terrible over there. No. Because people love living there and they're well taken care of and they have the highest standard of living in the world. Why? They don't have this capitalist structure. They have a market-based economy. It's not socialist. But guess what? People are taken care of. And if we're the greatest country in the world and we have a craptastic healthcare system like we do, it's an embarrassment. Then, you know, we need to make a change. And don't tell me that we can't afford it. If we're the richest country in the world, we have the biggest economy in the world, and we can buy bombers left and right and build aircraft and drones left and right.
Well, have you ever seen Sicko with Michael Moore? I know we talked about a couple of his documentaries before, but like where he breaks down, when you look at those countries paying like 75% tax, but then you look at everything that we pay for in the United States, it ends up being more than that, you know, and why we have no savings. And so it's crazy that people look at that as something that's wrong. When you look at the quality of life that they get, I would pay whatever I had to pay to have to, because you don't have to worry about medical. You don't, you know, you got enough money for food. You got enough money for your housing. You got everything you need.
And when you don't have to worry about anything like that, like your medical bills, I mean, think about how many people right now are worried because you're not getting a stimulus. You're not, you know, you might not be having a Thanksgiving dinner. You can't afford your medical bills. Like, those concerns are gone in those countries.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, and I think also when you think about, to your point, like sort of, preventative medicine as well, like it's the whole system. The whole system is broken, you know, from kids' school lunches. So kids are getting this, like, you know, awful processed food school lunches and wonder why we're one of the fattest countries in the world and we have to deal with diabetes off the charts. Well, what if we had a system that actually provided very healthy school lunches like they do in Europe? Like, literally serving quinoa salad for lunch with a pumpkin soup, fish, roasted chicken, like, and not processed, fresh. And then you don't have like an entire nation of people that are morbidly obese having to rely on these expensive medicines. You know, it's just this, they're making money off of this misery. And it's some, you know, that's what they're being rewarded for. Keeping us sick, keeping us overweight, keeping us unhealthy.
Did you ever see that cartoon that somebody drew that said weapons of mass destruction? And it was this plane dropping knives and forks over the United States.
Right. Yeah. Sad, but true. Maria Davis says, I feel bad for all Americans without health care and for paying for outrageous costs. Socialized health care works. As a veteran, I never have to pay for health care. I get great preventative care and treatment. There you go. Karen McNabb says, for all of my medicine from January to October is over $22,000. This is ridiculous. For 3 months of my Ozempic, I don't know that, but is $2,500. For 3 months, it cost her $2,500. Jeez. I remember my grandmother, I mean, in the 80s, paying a ton for her medicines all the time.
That's why you see so many people that just, like, they die penniless. Because when they retire, you're not getting enough from Social Security, and you still have the cost of these drugs, you know, and it's just, it's one of those things. It's like education. It's one of those things that just makes me absolutely sick to think about, that people actually suffer in the richest country in the world. There should be no homeless. There should be no hunger in this country.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so unbelievable to me. And it's so disturbing. So this is the kind of story. I mean, these are the kinds of stories we need to be covering and pushing our politicians on. These are the kinds of things that we need to push, President Biden on, his administration, and not continue more of the same. Someone said, that was what I wanted to say. Someone said, someone was watching Fox. There was a town hall with Bernie Sanders. I missed that. It scooted by. I forget who wrote it. I'm sorry. I'm just doing it from memory. So if this was your comment, I apologize. But someone says, I remember watching the Fox News town hall with Bernie Sanders. It was a room full of Republicans. And Bernie Sanders said he's for Medicare for all. And Brett Baer for Fox asked the entire audience, who here is in favor of Medicare for all? And everyone stood up and applauded. A room full of Republicans. Andrew Francis says, in happier news, Clayton, have you watched the Lego Holiday Movie with the kids yet? It's hilarious. No, we haven't, but that is, we're watching that. Aren't we watching that, like, tonight? This weekend, we're watching it. So we are excited to watch that. Thank you, everyone, for watching today. Thank you for allowing me to get a little emotional about this kind of stuff. I think what bothers me the most is that we know better systems exist. We see the proof of these other systems. But we're letting corporate greed totally drive out all respectable debates, reasoned debates on these subjects. And corporate greed continues to push these people out of the system, doesn't allow them a voice, doesn't allow them to run for office. Like we said yesterday, Andrew Yang blocked from even getting on MSNBC, told by the corporatists at MSNBC that you can't book this person on your air. And And so these voices get drowned out. And the only way we're going to change anything is if we, you know, if we demand more of these politicians, if we tell them enough is enough.
Well, a lot of times what happens is these politicians, they get pressured, they'll be for Medicare for All, then they get pressured and then they just pull back on it. You know, it's like, and there's very few, like you will not hear on mainstream media from people who support Medicare for All.
No, you won't. Because their bosses don't want them to. And you're right. A lot of times these politicians get in there, they're going to pay, they pay lip service to it while they're running. So they can get some of these progressive votes, you know, some of the more left votes that they need. And then they get in there and they get bought and sold by the, they start taking that money, that corporate money. And now they're answerable to them. It's like the moment you have to take money, you're answerable to them. It's very difficult to be elected without that money. How do you get heard? How do you run ads on television without money? That's how the system operates.
And then when you press them and ask them questions, they walk away from you like you're the bad guy. Like you see these politicians where people are like, hey, what about this? What about? And they're just like, they just walk away. Like,
yeah, like, yeah. Come on, you're going to ask me that question?
Yeah.
We got bigger fish to fry. We got Al-Qaeda, right?
Yeah.
We got ISIS to worry about.
Iran has uranium. Come on.
Can't be talking about Medicare for All. You wanted me to talk about school lunches? We got ISIS. Smash that like button. Thank you so much for watching the show today. We're at 934 likes. If we brought any value at all today on the show, can you smash that like button? Let YouTube know that you care about us, that you think we brought you some value, that will share our show with more people that need to hear these stories, have our voices heard, and a demand for change in this country. Thank you so much for all of your support. And thank you for subscribing to the channel. I really appreciate it. Grover thanks you as well. He has Medicare for All. He has MetaDog for All. He's taken care of. It's a rough life he's got. Much love to all of you. We will see you back here tomorrow. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, but I'm going to do a show. We will be here. David will be in the booth. So we'll do a Turkey Day show for you. We'll be covering the news. And, yeah, we will be here. We don't take days off like Congress does all the time. So much love to you. Thank you to our friends over at HelloFresh. Remember, if you want to get $90 of free food delivered right to your door, delicious meals delivered right to your door, just go to HelloFresh.com/90invest/90invest. Use that coupon to get
I need to edit that. What was that domain again? HelloFresh.com?
Yeah, HelloFresh.com/90invest. I said that right to you earlier, right? I got that.
I think you said invest 90, but I got it.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It is. I did it. Okay. HelloFresh.com/invest90. You get $90 off sent right to your front door, and you save 40% on your grocery bills. Check them out. And let them know that you heard about them from us. Thank you, everyone. We will see you bright and early tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Be safe and kind to each other. Bye now.